Welcome to Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks. Our teacher is my longtime friend, Dr. Jim Cunningham, consultant in adult education, director of Go Teach Global, and author of the book Men Alive. Jim, we usually talk about issues related to helping men with character development to be like Jesus. But today's title, Isaiah's Message for Canada, sounds a little different. Where are we headed with this one?
Every Christian man listening today must live his faith as a citizen of his home country. Hebrews 11 says, "Faith is the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." We're familiar with the faith of individuals in the Bible like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, and the remarkable stories of faith shown by Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, David, Samuel. Then comes a tiny two-word phrase in Hebrews 11 that says, "but others." Those identified others endured torture, refusing to turn from God to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground.
Wait, Jim, I noticed you left out one rather grisly example in that last section. Chapter 11, verse 37 says, "Some were sawed in half." Was the prophet Isaiah one of those sawn in half?
Pablo, one of our seminary mentors used to say there are three key principles to biblical interpretation.
Context, context, context. That was Dr. Eckelbarger's favorite phrase for Bible interpretation.
Agreed. So let me acknowledge, the Bible does not tell how Isaiah died or when, but Jewish historians believed Manasseh was so angry about what Isaiah prophesied to happen to Israel that Isaiah's writings ended rather abruptly during Manasseh's 50-year reign of terror. Let's examine Isaiah for a moment and come back to how Isaiah might have died. At that point, the faint of heart may want to cover their ears. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1 says Isaiah's visions occurred during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. Isaiah was point blank blunt in telling the leaders of the country what God had told him. He was obedient and bold. Imagine saying the things Isaiah said to a prime minister or president or political leader of our day. Isaiah writes, "When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims." That sounds like abortion to me. 300 a day in Canada, 63 million so far in the USA. Then God says through Isaiah, "Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways." Today, God might speak against pornography, addiction, sexual immorality, corruption. He continues in verse 17, "Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken." Wow. Imagine conveying that message to politicians today. Isaiah is like a man standing in a field looking at four distant mountain ranges. He is enabled by God to see four future peaks in the same vision without seeing details of every event in the time valley between the peaks. Peak 1, the closest peak, is identified as current events. Isaiah saw that the first temple would be destroyed by the Babylonians. Peak number 2, the next peak, were events that would happen during Jesus' lifetime, when Jesus would live in Nazareth and be known as a Nazarene. And Isaiah saw the second temple would be destroyed in 70 AD. Peak 3 was Isaiah's visions for things that would happen at the end of history, when the third temple would be built with Messiah ruling from Jerusalem. And peak 4 included visions related to a future when God's eternal rule occurs from the new heaven, new earth, and the new Jerusalem.
Jim, some of these multiple visions are recorded in the same chapter, which makes it a challenge to create a timeline of the events.
Agreed. Even though Isaiah was told what was coming, he did not run away. He stayed. He told the leaders and the people what God was going to do. Think about what Isaiah is saying. He is telling the king that God is going to judge his people, the Israelites. They were supposed to be God's light to the nations, holy and obedient, but they were proud and arrogant and shedding innocent blood and refusing to live God's way. So God says to them, in essence, enough is enough. I'm going to raise up the Assyrians to come and conquer Samaria, and then I, God speaking, will raise up the Babylonians to come and conquer Jerusalem and take the people down to Babylon for 70 years. Then God said to Isaiah, but after 70 years, I will raise up Cyrus, my shepherd, my anointed one. He will defeat the Babylonians and send my people back to Israel to rebuild Jerusalem.
This is truly an amazing prophecy. Isaiah is speaking some 150 years before there even was a place called Persia or a man named Cyrus, telling the people what God was going to do. You are listening to Men Alive with Dr. Jim Cunningham, who is neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. Before he continues sharing about Isaiah's prophecy, let me remind you that we have an abundance of biblical material and Men Alive programs on our website at GoTeachGlobal.com. Come and visit. That's GoTeachGlobal.com. Now back to Isaiah.
Let me use Canadian history as an example for a moment. Canada was formed in 1867 as a confederation of four provinces: Ontario, Quebec, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia. The other provinces did not join until much later. Imagine Isaiah walking into that meeting in Prince Edward Island when Canada was formed as a nation in 1867 and saying to the people gathered there, 150 years from now, God is going to raise up a Prime Minister of Canada named Stephen Harper from Calgary, Alberta. The people in the room would have said, are you crazy? There's no place called Alberta, and who is this Stephen Harper guy? Isaiah sounded this way when he addressed the leaders of his day. He was telling them information of events that were going to happen at four levels: current levels, Jesus' lifetime events, Messiah ruling events, and God's eternal ruling events. Here's a sample of multiple peaks in chapter 11. Isaiah says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from an old root. Let's note the Hebrew word for branch is Nazar, meaning the Messiah will come from Nazareth. Number two, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The Jewish people of Jesus' day wanted a leader who would give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. In chapter 61, Isaiah writes about this coming Messiah. He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Are you still with me, folks? Fast forward to the time of Jesus of Nazareth. The Jewish people had waited over 400 years for the arrival of their Messiah. In Luke chapter 4, we read of the baptism of Jesus, his test by Satan. And then verse 14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus stopped in the middle of that sentence. Scripture says he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've heard has been fulfilled this very day. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be? They asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? If he was truly the Messiah, they wanted him to finish the sentence where it says, "And with it the day of God's anger against their enemies." The people wanted a military Messiah to free them from the Romans. Jesus indicated that is not why he came. His plan included the Gentiles. Meanwhile, back to Isaiah's visions for a moment. Isaiah was definitely not popular. He was prophesying things to come that no king wanted to either hear or believe. Wars, famines, defeat, exile, separation, hardship. Now to his death. Various accounts indicate Isaiah was sawn in half. Some believe he was tied and placed inside a hollow trunk of a tree, and the tree was then cut in half. One account suggests the brutality of his execution was accentuated by his feet and hands being tied and the saw cut beginning between his legs and slowly moving towards his head until he was sawn asunder. Either way, this is the most famous of all prophets being killed, Isaiah. Imagine speaking the truth of God's word to your political leaders and being sawed in half for saying it. Would you do it? Does Isaiah have a message for us today? For certain. Be obedient, be wise, and be bold.
There you have it, men. May we be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, without fear until we see Christ face to face. Contact menaliveuntogod@gmail.com with further questions for Dr. Jim. That's menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. And check out our website, goteachglobal.com, for more resources and options. There you'll find an opportunity to listen to any or all of the many Men Alive recorded programs on goteachglobal.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Esterbrooks with Dr. Jim encouraging you to be men alive, transformed to be like Jesus Christ.